So here we are learning Bamidbar chapter 14, the second part, second half of the story of the Meraglim. It's quite a long chapter. We'll try to summarize what is going on in it. So as we've said, in the previous chapter, which is the first half of the story, this is really both chapters, in some sense, could have made a chapter in the middle here before the story of the Ma'apilim. In any case, these two chapters are totally part of one story. There's no real reason to divide it this way. You might think of other ways to divide the story. But in any case, what we've had before was the Meraglim's return, right? After the whole story of the command of Moshe, the command of Moshe to the Meraglim, the action of the Meraglim to go to Eretz Yisrael to check it out, the Meraglim's return, and two levels, two steps of their report. First, they gave a simple report, and then they started a conversation whether they will manage to conquer the land. And then they gave their sort of narrative, their sort of personal impression of how they're weak relative to the people there. And there we're getting the response of the people to this report, to this really nice narrative that they got. And the response was very sad. They raised their voices and they cried. They cried in that night. So they cried and cried just doesn't mean just like they had tears. They were sad. This is something like they complained very loudly. They cried out. And they complained on Moshe and Aharon, all of them, Kol Bnei Yisrael, all the people, Kol Ha'eda. I've said Ha'eda, I think, means the like important people, the people who count in the congregation. Kol Bnei Yisrael means everyone. They're all having the same complaint. So other different than the previous stories, where there are Safsef had complaints, and then Moshe and Aharon and Miriam had complaints. Here, everyone has the same complaint. It doesn't, of course, talk about Aharon and Miriam, but everyone had complaints. We should assume that all the 70 leaders from the previous story, they're all complaining. What are they complaining? That this whole plan, this is really a challenge to the whole plan of Moshe taking them out of Mitzrayim, bringing them to the Midbar, bringing them to Eretz Yisrael. They said this whole plan was a bad plan. We should have died in Mitzrayim. We should have even died in the Midbar on the way. We're just going to die now to fall by the sword. We're going to die in war. Our children, our wives will become prizes of war that will be taken by the enemy. It's even worse. It would have been better for us to be Mitzrayim. And they literally start speaking one to another. How about we make a new leadership? Nitna Raj, we create a new leader and we go back to Mitzrayim. And this is a very serious challenge. And Moshe and Aharon don't have a response. As we've seen now, this is the first time. And then later, in the same, similar later. Moshe and Aharon don't really have responses to the good challenges. The weak challenges, they have responses. When there's a good challenge, they don't answer. And they wait for Hashem to answer for them. So when Moshe and Aharon do is they fall on their face before Hashem. This is what it means. If that's if they call Kaldas Bnei Yisrael, it might mean they fall to their face, like they're giving up for it in front of them. Or it might mean a kind of prayer. They're saying, we don't really have a response. Like if you really think that there's no way, we should have never left Egypt. We should have maybe even died on the way, you know, in thirst or something. It's all better than dying in war and having our children being taken captive and slaves and so on. We don't really have an answer. But the only people that have an answer that get involved in the discussion here are the two of the Meraglim, Yeshua ben Nun and Kolev ben Yefine, who are one of the Meraglim. They seem to have, they feel the right to challenge, right? Because not every Moshe and Aharon, they're getting this report. Everyone is hearing their report. Nobody's assuming they're lying, right? Even the Pesach doesn't say they're lying. They might see the Besorets. They narrated the story badly. They said the bad things about it, but that nobody said that they lied. So the only people that had a real chance of challenging them are Yeshia and Kolev, who are from the Torah Menoretz. They are Meraglim. They were there. And what did they do? Firstly, they ripped their clothing. In other words, they're participating in Moshe and Aharon's being at a loss here. They're saying, this is horrible what's going on. This is not okay. And then they, so that's step one. Then step two is that they speak to the people and they disagree. They challenge the report. They say, this is not true. Firstly, the land that we went to check out is great land. And of course, remember, this is not something they ever challenged. Everyone agreed that the land, as far as the land, is a good land. Of course, they said in their second step of their report, they said, it's a hard land that eats its people that live in it, its inhabitants. But it doesn't necessarily differently agree. This is just different emphasis, right? They're saying, let's go back to the beginning. It's a bad land. But you're afraid. So then here they're answering, Shia and Kolev's answer is Hashem, is in the name of Hashem. If Hashem will want us, He will bring us this place, He will give it to us, it's a great land, it's Zavas Chalav Edvash. Just do not rebel against Hashem, because if Hashem is the power that's going to help us bring there. If you rebel against Hashem, then you're right, right? But if you go with Hashem, if Hashem will want us, if Hashem is the one bringing us, then we're definitely be able to go. And therefore, just don't rebel against Hashem, which it seems like they're interpreting, and that's why they rip their clothing. Like similar to like the halacha of someone here, someone Chas Shalom cursing God or something like that. You rip your clothing because this is, you're hearing something blasphemy. This is against God. But if you will not blasphemize against God, you will not rebel against God, then don't be afraid of the people in the land. There are food, their cell, their shade has gone on for them. It's very interesting. And the Torah always, shade is protection. It's a concept of protection. Like the thing protecting them from the sun or from enemies has been lost. In other words, of course, this is a beautiful image. Like there's a desert, and like they went in the summer, it was very hot. And they said, look, these people have no shade. There's no trees. Similar to like we talked about Etzba Eitz. Of course, the Medrash noticed this connection between the Eitz and the Tzel. But of course, literally, the Eitz means trees there. And here it is talking about something more metaphorical. But there's idea here where something like they're fully exposed to us. There's nobody protecting them. Okay, they might have been the Anak, but Hashem is stronger than these Anak. This is not something you should be worried about. And this is also a report, right? This is also a way of them interpreting their report. They said, we saw that they're not protected. We saw that they don't have protection. And how did they see it? They saw it with the eyes of this promise that they believe that Hashem will bring them. But it's not only, we have to emphasize this, it's not only like, well, Hashem will help us against the reality, against nature, not Hashem, reality, against like what there is. No, they're saying that if you look with these eyes, if you're not rebelling against Hashem, you will see that they don't have anyone to rely on, really, these people. But now, of course, Yeshua Benin's and Kalev's challenge and response here doesn't get accepted. The people, they want to stone them. That's how mad they are at this. They're thinking that they're just trying to fool them or something is weird is going on. They're not interested in listening to this. And here Hashem intervenes. Kved Hashem nirubu al-moed al-kobin ha-yisrael. Hashem's glory, which probably means a cloud or something like that, is seen in the al-moed, like we saw very similar to the story that we had earlier by Miriam. Hashem gets revealed and is showing like, I'm here. I've noticed what's going on. It's in front of me. I've heard the complaints. And now Hashem, what does he say? He speaks to Moshe, similar to, again, over there, they spoke to Aaron and Miriam. Now he's speaking to Moshe, not speaking to the people. He's speaking to Moshe, and he expresses his anger, his frustration to Moshe. And this is what he says. He says, until when will these people blasphemize me? Until when will they not believe me? Will they not trust in me? I've done so much for them. This is not like they said we should have died in the Midbar. We should have died in Mitzrayim. Remember, someone took you out of Mitzrayim. We got in here. Why? How much more do I have to do for you to trust the plan, to trust that next step will also work? And therefore, Hashem is so upset. He says, I will just kill them. I will destroy them in a plague. And I make you Moshe to a greater nation. I'll make you bigger than them. In other words, Moshe or maybe even Kolev and Yeshua, whoever the only people that are trusting in me, I'll take care of you. Forget about all these people. Now Moshe, similar to what he did in the Eagle, right? Hashem told him the similar thing about the Eagle. Moshe intervenes with Hashem now. Moshe is not agreeing with Hashem. Moshe prays to Hashem and to destroy, to battle this, to take away Hashem's anger and to say that this is not going to work. And he uses the same argument that he always uses. He says, oh, so you, the Mitzrim will hear that you lost, right? The Mitzrim, who, right, this is like very interesting, because this is exactly Yeshua and Kalev's argument, right? Hashem is the one that took you out of Mitzrayim. Hashem's argument, he took out of Mitzrayim, you should trust that it will do further. And then Moshe says, okay, for the same reason, Hashem, you can't give up either. You don't expect the people to give up, right? Don't give up. I've taken you out of Mitzrayim, I've taken you through the Midbar, trust that the next step will work too. Well, could you give up also? What will the Mitzrayim say? The Mitzrayim will tell the people. The Mitzrayim will maybe metaphorically or literally be talking to people of Canaan. It's interesting, he says, I'm pretty sure that this means people of Canaan, although Moshe is not there. It's like he's speaking as if we're already there. He's saying, they will say, look, we've heard that Hashem is with these people. Everyone can see your cloud with them, your fire at night. And turns out you've killed them all as one person, like as if they're one person in one day and one night. And all the people have heard of you. It's not like you can hide. You can pretend, oh, I never meant anything. No, everyone sees that you're very clear about showing that it's you. Not Tzilam, right? The Anan. It's under your shade that they're going, right? You're protecting them. And they will hear, the Mitzrayim will say, oh, obviously, okay, maybe Hashem was able, stronger than us, but he's not stronger than Canaanim. Hashem cannot bring them to the land. So he slaughtered them in the Midbar to get out of his promise, to take them out of in the land. So like he slaughtered them in the sense of there was a plague, maybe like something happened, I don't know. He couldn't fulfill this promise, therefore this was his excuse, this was his answer. And this is Moshe's a very strong argument against Hashem. And you'll notice the same thing, just like the Meraglim. Like, notice, the Shia Kalev noticed, wait, your people are saying that the Kananim are stronger than Hashem. Moshe is saying, that is exactly what the truth would be, what the people will say. Whenever someone says people will say, this will be the reality if you actually follow them, if you actually do what the Meraglim are proposing and kill them in the Midbar, which is exactly what they said. If Amidbar Azel Umasni, Vayishchatem Amidbar, then it will be true Mibilti Yecholes Hashem. And therefore Moshe finishes his prayer. He says, make your power strong. In other words, show that your power is stronger. And then he repeats, what Hashem told him in the case, so in the story of the eagle, when Hashem revealed himself to him, he said, Hashem, you're Erech HaPayim V'Rav Chesed. It's true that you're a God of justice and a God of righteous anger. But you're also a God of being slow to anger, of being long to anger, and of doing chesed, of carrying people's sins, right? You can accept people's sins. You could serve, you could bear the burden of our sins. And yes, you do not forget. But remember that that's also part of the Erech HaPayim, right? God has time. God can wait for four generations. Maybe in four generations, their solution can be found where somehow God can win and there has to be some punishment for the people not trusting in him. You can get that also. But right now, right now you have to forgive the people with your great kindness, as great as your kindness is. You've carried them until here. You can't give up now. You've carried them, and of course you knew that we're sinful. You knew that we're hard people. You knew that we're not trustful. You've carried us until now. Continue to carry us. And Hashem agrees with him. Hashem says, "V'yemer Hashem salachti keturach." As you've said, you've made a good argument, Moshe. You're right. I will forgive them as you've said, according to your words, in your way. Ve'ilam, but, and this is Hashem fulfilling the second part, like I said, v'nakle inak. This doesn't mean that everyone is getting off the hook. And these promises, chai oni, I swear by my life, as I live. Ve'yimolech v'ad Hashem as kol eretz. And I think this also means something like, you asked me to show my power. Yes. Now, when my glory will fill the whole world. So it's like I'm swearing by my life, by my glory, which will fill the whole earth now, that these people who've seen me, who've seen my glory, they see my miracles that I did in Mitzrayim and the Midbar. Now they tried me already 10 times. They still don't listen to me. I swear that they, if they will see the land that I swear their parents to give me, the blasphemers, the people that blaspheme me will not see her. If, in other words, I swear that something will happen. That's the language of a swear. This doesn't have the other side here. If they will happen. But the only exception will be my servant, Kolev, who has had a different spirit with him. He didn't go along with the Meraglim. He followed through again, followed me. I will bring him to the land, and his children, his descendants, will inherit it. Okay? So that's Hashem's response to Moshe, that okay, he will not kill everyone, but he swears that the people that have not trusted him will not see the land that they don't trust him to bring them to. Basically, they're going to get their wish in some sense. And also, he says, makes an exception for Kolev. Of course, Yeshua is not mentioned here, but maybe it's obvious Yeshua is going to be the leader later. So it's not really someone that needs an exception. Of course, it's on Moshe's side, but Kolev will have an exception and he will get it. And of course, there's the story in Sefer Yeshua, which describes exactly this happening. And now Hashem says, so what will you do? Look, the Amaleki and the Kanani are the Emek in the valley. This is basically, again, literally what the Meraglim said, right? In the low part in the Negev, that's where the Amaleki and the Kanani have. In other words, you can't go there. So you're going to have to find a different way. Therefore, tomorrow, turn around, go back to the Midrat, to the way of the Yamsef. You're going to turn around. You're going to have to find a different way to go. So in other words, in a certain sense, it's accepting the Meraglim's complaint, right? This is very interesting. And that's itself part of their punishment, right? A person's punishment that he gets what he wanted. The Meraglim said, you can't go here. There's Amaleki and Kanani. Hashem said, you're right. We could have taken you if you would have trusted, but you don't trust, go back the other way. We'll find a different way. Will happen. And now there's another one, another moment, another speech that Hashem gives to Moshe and Aharon. And this is somewhat doubled. It seems to say similar things that he said before, but he there's a question here, why there's these doubling. It's not the first doubling in the Torah, of course. But we can see that he adds a lot to this promise, to this oath that he's swearing. He gives a very important detail, and he really fills out what it didn't really make clear before. He said the people that have not trusted him, he won't see him, but it doesn't really explain what will happen. So here he does somewhat explain what will happen. He says like this, and first he says the same thing that we said before. Ad mosel edara azos Hashem avlinim alai. Until when are this bad congregation, these bad people who are complaining against me, right? In other words, this is Hashem saying exactly what he said before. 10 times they've tried me. How much more can this go on for? I've heard them. And then says, I've heard, right? This is again what we say the whole time. Hashem is saying, I didn't forget. It's not that you can complain and I don't notice. I have here, I noticed. It's, the complaints are in my ears, in my eyes, so to speak. Therefore, tell them, and he tells them the same oath. As I live, I will do to you exactly what you spoke in my eye, in my ears. And that's this filling out what I said. I told you to it already before by saying, your corpses will fall in this desert. All of you who have been counted in the census from the 20 years and older, all of you who have complained against me, all of your corpses will fall together. And I swear, if you will come to the land that I've sworn to make you rest in, to make you live in, besides for, and here we do have, Kolev and Yeshua. And your children that you said, that will be captive, they will be levaz, they will become worse prizes of war, I will bring them and they will know the land which you have not wanted, which you have been moyes in. But you, your corpses will die in this midbar. Your children will be in the desert for 40 years. In other words, this whole generation until you die, basically. It's saying basically you're going to die a natural death in some sense. But you three will have to wait for the next generation to come. They will carry yours, thus your treason, basically, until your corpse is finished, until you all finish dying. And this will take, and again, why 40 years? I gave you a simple explanation. Because 40 years is basically the time that it takes for a generation to change. But also, there's a symbolism here. The amount of days, we said, they came back after 40 days. So the exact amount of days that you've went and checked out the land, for that amount of days, one day per year, you will have to carry your sin, and it will take that long to get to the Eretz Yisrael. And he finally finalizes with his signature, Ani Hashem, this is me Hashem speaking. I promise, if I will not do this to these people who are complaining, you will all die in this in the desert. Okay, I went a little fast here because I have to move on. And now we have this is Hashem's statement. And now we have the Pusik reporting, the narrator, so to speak, reporting that something, what they said, part of what Hashem said they will do, happened. Of course, Hashem Moshe succeeded with his prayer, with his intervention, that not all the people died, but some of the people, the specific people, did die. And it said the people that Moshe sent, they died in the Magaifa and exactly in a plague, Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. But Yeshua, Benin, and Kolev, they survived. So apparently the Meraglim himself died, or maybe, the Meraglim himself died, whether on the spot or whether in general in the desert and so on, but they died. But Yeshua and Kolev survived. Now we have a very interesting story. So it's very interesting to see the structure. Like on the one hand, they were not courageous enough. They did not trust enough, and therefore they lost. They got what they wanted and didn't go. Now on the other hand, that doesn't mean that means you should just be rash and jump and do whatever you want and go into even in the danger. So what we see is, Moshe speaks this thing to the people, and they're very sad. They're in mourning. Now, in the morning, they say, you know what? You were right. Hashem was right. I will just go. They woke up in the field. They go to the Rosh Shahar. Again, the mountain, there's the Emek, which is closer to them, and then the Har, which is where Hebron is. And they say, we're going to go up to the mountain. Here we are. We're going to go up to the place that Hashem has promised us to go. We've sinned. We made a mistake. We said we can't go. We're going to go. And now Moshe says, no, this is not what we meant. This is, maybe it means to say it's too late, or maybe he says Hashem already said, he already accepted your complaint. This is not how it works. Moshe tells them, why are you not listening to Hashem? Hashem just told you to go back. Right? It's very interesting. This is like the second Hashem. Like, you can't go back. Once you've lost it, you've lost it. And Hashem sort of agreed with you. So now you're going to have to go with your new plan. We're not going to go with the old plan. So Moshe tells them, don't go up, because Hashem is not with you. You will be destroyed in front of your enemies. The Malachi and the Kanani are there. You will fall in the sword. And ki alken shaft mech Hashem, because in other words, you went away from Hashem. Hashem is not with you. This is like very interesting, because it's like against tshuva, right? We always assume that tshuva means you could always get back. You can't always get back. Sometimes someone loses a certain opportunity. Hashem wanted to take him in a certain way, but now they decided to go a different way. Now you're gonna have to follow through this plan too. You can't go back to plan A. Plan B is the plan now. But vayapilu, they do go, and this is an interesting verb, right? We're not clear what they mean, but it means something like they overcame this challenge and went anyways. But Moshe and the Aron Bris Hashem, the Urim, did not go with them. That's exactly what it means. And they actually lost the battle. The Amaleki and the Kanani, who were in that mountain, they came back and they hit them. They lost the battle. Ada Charma, which might mean either a place or like Lashon Chayrem, they destroyed them entirely. So these people, obviously not all the people, these people who went up, lost their battle, and as Moshe said.